Everybody is doing well this evening. It's always wonderful as we sing songs about getting to heaven and how beautiful and how glorious it'll be, and just to help us and motivate us to continue to fight that good fight. I want to ask that you open up your Bibles along with me and turn to James for this evening. Turn along with me to James chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 2 through 8. James chapter 1. Looking at verses 2 through 8 and bringing a lesson forth from these verses. Of course, this is the very beginning of this letter, and I believe there's a lot of lessons that you can learn through the book of James. And I'd like to maybe start here at the beginning and maybe work our way through it a little bit on our throughout a few services. But here, starting in verse 2, James 1, verse 2, it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." So I'd like to start up in verse 2 and just kind of work our way through it and bring out some verses to back up what we're reading here in the book of James. And so starting off with it, it just comes straight out. James comes straight out and tells us that we're going to suffer persecution, that we're going to be facing trials throughout our time here on earth. And so many get caught up, sadly, with the mindset that we won't be going through those trials because you've given yourself over to God and now everything is good and now you don't have to worry about anything. And to an extent, yes, our sins are forgiven. That burden has been lifted off your shoulders and we do not have to worry because your home is in heaven. So whatever bad happens here on earth, there's a reward waiting for you if you remain faithful till the end. But that does not mean that we will not be going through hard times. He tells us that we are going to face persecution. In Matthew chapter 5, you turn along and read with me in verse 10. Matthew 5, and looking at verse 10, it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And so here it's making that mention that at that last part is that it's always been this way. Anyone who's been faithful to God has faced trials and had face persecution. You just look at the prophets as they have been sent out and they were not received and they cast them out. You look at the parable of our Lord and Savior as the master has a vineyard. He puts servants in there and then as harvest time comes, he sends his people in there and they beat them and kill some and eventually he sends his son and they kill the son also. People have always hated hearing the truth and they've always stood against our God. So if you're choosing to follow God, we will face persecution. And now, verse 12, it tells us to rejoice. And that's what James said also in chapter 1, verse 2. It said, rejoice, be glad. And so it's not necessarily saying here, though, that you're happy and joyful and laughing and you've got a smile on your face as these trials, as these persecutions take place. Because it's not always a fun situation in that mindset. In the mindset that if someone might beat you and stone you and throw you into prison, that you're going to sit there and be happy and joyful. But here in Matthew, it's telling us the reason why we should be joyful. It's just because there's a home in heaven for you. Because there's a reward at the end of the tunnel. And James brings out another reason. We'll be getting to that here in just a bit. But continue on this persecution, 2 Timothy 3 and in verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, and looking at verse 12. As it reads here, it says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so into a matter, this is a way of testing ourselves and checking to see whether or not we're in the faith and asking, have I ever really been through any kind of trial or persecution for my faith? Because if we haven't, are we shining His light like we ought to? Are we truly living our lives as Christians out in the world and shining His light and teaching and spreading the seed? Because if we do, and we're out there doing the work, people will notice. That's what the Bible says. They will know that you are my sons because you don't hate your enemies, because the way you live your lifestyle, because you dress modestly, because of who you are, they will know you. Because they know you, you will go through trials. You will have them ask you about your faith. And if you're willing to stand up for the truth and you're willing to confess your faith and willing to answer those questions, there will be times in which you'll be persecuted. Now, I'm not saying you get persecuted every day. I'm not saying it happens all the time. But it happens. Jesus made it clear again what He was hating. Do not be surprised the world hates you. Remember, it hated me first. And so, as we read James, he starts off just fair warning. You are going to face trials. But with trials, we move on and see, and we can grow from it. There's growth as we go through these trials. There's growth as we go through persecution. James 2 and verse 3 again. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There is it produces steadfastness. It produces your patience. It produces long suffering as you go through the trials. And now it depends on how you come out. That is a point that has to be made. It depends on how you come out during this trial, during this test, during this persecution that you are going through, and what you do and how you react to it. If it's a persecution and then you, and someone comes and tests you and asks you about your faith and you deny Christ, well, you're not really going to grow because you have given in to the temptation. If the persecution or a temptation comes at you and you're sitting here and someone's saying, hey, let's go into this party and we're going to have a few drinks and we're going to do this and we're going to lie and we're going to dress this way, and you have the option to say yes or no. You have the option to say, well, I'm not going to be around that. I'm not going to do that. Again, it might be hard the first time. But if we can overcome the temptation once, then it's going to be a little easier the first time and a little easier the next time. And then eventually we'll be strong and steadfast and we'll be able to persevere through these trials. But it's also the other way, that if we give in, then it's going to be a little easier to give in next time. It's going to be eventually, and of course, addiction might come in to where you have to be always doing these things. In Romans chapter 5, and read along with me here in verse 3, it says, not only that, but again, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And so here it tells us again, rejoice in suffering. Why? Because it gives us endurance. And as you grow with that endurance and you're able to keep on fighting, you're able to keep on living faithfully to God, and, well, I came over this trial, and so this trial is going to be nothing. And sometimes, you know, we point that out to somebody who went something great. They went through something hard, and somehow they came out on the other side, and they still have faith, and they're still believe in God. And we say, well, if they can go through that, they can go through. Sometimes it's a small thing that gives us a little bit more strength for something harder. And sometimes it's so difficult that when you come out, the easy things are just going to, you're going to have enough faith. And you're going to have character that's going to define who you are by these trials, by your choice of choosing which path you're going to follow. People will look at you and say, I remember when I, you know, they did nothing. I sat there and made fun of them, or I sat there and I challenged them, and I sat there and I dared them and pushed them to the line, and yet they would not swear at me. They would not take a punch at me. They would not go and do this, even though, you know, it starts to define who you are. People start to know who you are. They know that you are a Christian, a follower of God, and then that leads to hope. This brings out here, and hope does not disappoint. It leads to our hope. And so as we go through trials, as the time at hand, it may be difficult and hard, but when we've overcome it, we should gain hope. We should feel better. And to an extent, you might smile and say, thank you, God, for giving me that strength to overcome and letting me know how to overcome it in case I have to face it again, in case someone else is facing it, I can help them. But as trials come, growth can come also. We're willing to grow. And I believe as we look at these next few verses, it kind of tells us how we can grow. It goes forth and explains how we gain that long-suffering, how we gain the endurance and build up our character. And so it brings out here, making sure that we lack nothing as we overcome this temptation, you're able to become complete. Go back to James. Go back to James and read it there. James 1 and looking at verse 4. James 1 and verse 4 says, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so, how do we get to that point, though? How do we go through trials and persecution and build on top of that somehow to become complete, to become perfect? Well, to overcome trials, there's few things that we do as we go through these trials. I believe one thing is that we're going to be willing to open up the Bible and study as this, that temptation is put in front of us, and you're like, well, I don't know what I need to answer. I don't know what I should say in this situation. Well, guess what does? What is going to tell us what we need to do? The Bible is. And that's why we go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, and it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be what? May be complete, just like we read here in James 1. So as we go through these trials and we go through these tests and you endure and you overcome, well, we overcome because we're going to be willing to study. And we're going to be willing to go our brothers and sisters of Christ and ask questions and say, hey, I'm dealing with this situation. What do I do? What Bible verses do I look at? What scriptures do I read? And then we pray to God and we are able to become complete. It shows us everything we need through the scriptures in order to be perfect. And again, I know none of us are perfect. We've all sinned and fallen short. But when we obey the gospel, when we get baptized at that time and moment, you're raised up. Why does no? You're raised up a lamb without blemish. And so when we repent of our sins, and at that time and moment, if your heart is true and you're praying to God for forgiveness and He forgives you, you're a lamb without blemish at that time and moment. He has cleansed you. He has washed you clean. And so we can learn how to be complete through the scriptures and through these sufferings and through these trials. That's how we're going to ask these questions. This is a motivation to help us to learn and to grow. And that's what he says. He says, go to God in prayer if you lack knowledge. If we're sitting there, we don't know what to do during this trial, during this temptation. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Go to God in prayer. Open up His Bible and search His words. Because you lack wisdom, you lack understanding, you don't know what to do here or the right way to go about it. Search the Scriptures. God has the answers. Verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in his ways. And so here again, it makes mention that as we go to God in prayer, though, go believing that He's going to give you an answer.
knowing that He has answers for us in His Word, knowing that He has given us brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on and to ask questions, to help each other, to help in growing with each other and having the fellowship that we talked about this morning. But again, if we need faith and we need to be strong in our faith, say, God, I'm lacking in my faith. And how do I get to that point of lacking in faith to growing to be complete and perfect? Again, it comes back to searching the Scriptures, coming back to listening to God. Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we search the Scriptures to know what we need to be doing, to know how to overcome these trials and temptations. God has blessed us so much. He's given us the Scriptures in order that we can overcome these trials that we face from day to day. So that we can help teach it to others and we can instruct it to others. And again, these are just the first few verses throughout this book of James that they go forth and tell us so much. He does not hide that we're going to have to go through trials. He gives us hope about what is going to happen as you go through these trials. As you go through suffering. Here's a little bit of hope that we can have. It says you're going to suffer, but you're going to grow from it. And as you grow from it, you're going to become stronger and you're going to be able to become that person that others can look to for guidance and instruction. And so let us be ready to go back into the world. We start off this week gathering together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us be ready to go back. Hopefully we have received a good charge in our faith as we gather together this morning and this evening. And that we are built up, ready to shine the Lord's light. It's shining a little bit brighter than it was Saturday night. A little bit brighter than it was Friday night after you've gone through the whole week of work. And you've gone through the whole week of seeing the news and reading and and we're ready to go back more complete than we was then because we've studied and we've been with each other and we're ready to go and fight that good fight. But let us continue to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman not ashamed, and make sure we can rightly divide it though. We have to know right from wrong in order to overcome these temptations. So let us always be studying. Let us always be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you've yet to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do that. We want you to be baptized and wash your sins away. If you're here this evening and you need the prayers of the congregation, if you've been struggling to go through the life or through the week and you need help, you need guidance, if it's prayers you need, if it's a Bible study you need, if it's gathered together more than just these twice a week, let us know. Let us be there for you. Let us help each other get to heaven. So if there's anything we can do, let it be known as we stand.
We walk with the Lord.